Yes, it is that time of the week. A Fransky Friday on the Midday Show. So we talk to the voice of the Phillies, Scott Fransky. Of course, brought to you by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Phillies getting set for a weekend series in Atlanta. And I'm sure they couldn't wait to get out of Houston after getting swept there.
Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Yes, we could not wait to leave, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the Phillies bats probably felt the same. Scott, that was...
And you... That's assuming they actually brought them.
Yes. Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah. You guys referenced it a lot during the series. It's hard to think of a series like that because the pitching on the Philly side was so remarkable, especially Sanchez yesterday. I mean, I think that was the best he looked all year. And to not walk out with a single win is just, it's like you just scratch your head. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, it's really amazing. We had to, so 40 times this year, 81 games, 40 times, they've had a starter go six innings or more and give up two runs or less, which is amazing, right? That's better than the quote-unquote quality start stat. Well, now 15 times that starter has either taken a loss or gotten a no decision because they didn't have run support or the bullpen, you know, let it go or whatever. But that's a lot of – that's, you know, 15 games. I think they're 5-10 in those games too. Imagine flipping that record in reverse. What if they were 10-5? The standings would look a whole lot different right now. So those are ones that you certainly look back on at the end of the year and say, man, I wish we could have found a way to scratch out a run and get a few of those wins.
You know, even though it was a rough series, you're still in a pretty good place, Scott. What do you make of Max Kepler's comments when he says, you know, what he says?
I mean, honestly, I thought it was somewhat, I don't know what more he wants, quite frankly. He's started, 60?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe pointed that out earlier, that he's been out there, like, he started the season, he's played like 60 games.
Right. And he's played more than he started, too. He's come in later. And the numbers don't really back up what he's talking about. I mean,
you sound confused by
I'm confused
him.
By his assessment.
Yeah,
of how
yeah.
The
you
season
sound
has
you
gone.
And Scott, not hate to ask the question, but you know we have to. It just sounds like you don't know where it's coming from when he says it like that.
I mean, he may be frustrated with any number of things, and he. I mean, I don't know if he expected to. I don't know what was told to him. I can't. I mean, I just read the comments after we left the ballpark yesterday,
and mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And I haven't talked to anybody with the club about it. I don't know what he was quote unquote told or promised, or you know. I mean, he's been pretty much the everyday left fielder, and he hasn't produced very much offensively. He had a couple of good stretches, and he's had a couple of really pretty bad stretches. So, you know, he's played a decent left field, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know what was said to him. I don't know what he was expecting, but I think he's been the everyday left fielder. In my mind, he's been the everyday left fielder.
Scott, do you think, let's just kind of go back to last week and this week. We have a pair of outfielders who have had moments where they're frustrated, right? Castellanos obviously handled it in his own way, and then him and Topper got through that, and we've been fine with him since. And now you have Kepler, who is, in effect, complaining about playing time and not being in a rhythm. Do you think these are just random things with those two guys? Is it maybe a good thing that we're able to voice our opinions and move forward? Or do you think there's something going on here where the players, or at least some of them, are... maybe questioning things? Because I don't, with Rob Thompson, since he got here, this hasn't been a thing that I can remember where it's been where players are publicly to the media questioning their playing time. This is kind of new to the Topper, you know, manager stint since he got here. This hasn't happened before by my memory.
I would agree with that. I think things have been very internal throughout his tenure, which is the way he would prefer it. I think it's the way most athletes would prefer it, to keep it all internal. Obviously, there's frustration, and sometimes you go through a series like that as a team or as an individual player. and you are a little more frustrated than normal, and you're willing to sort of share that publicly, does it suggest something, bigger at play? I don't know. I don't think so, but all these guys are different. They all handle things in different ways. If it continues, I don't think it would be a bad idea for other players to hash it out, to talk about it, and find out what everybody's feelings are and issues are and these kinds of things. Because if there's some kind of problem behind the scenes or whatever that's leading to these types of, frustrating, I don't want to call it an outburst. It wasn't really that. But you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If there's something greater afoot here, then I think the players should, they're veteran guys. They've seen it. So if they feel it rises to the level of needing a conversation, I would assume that the veteran guys in the clubhouse would facilitate that.
Scott, I hate to put you on the spot, but I've been in some locker rooms.
You're gonna.
I'm trying not to, but can this?
Oh, it's fine.
Can this have the potential, like for his outburst and him not being here that long, could this have the potential of fragmenting that clubhouse a little bit?
Well, it could certainly. I think, from being in a locker room.
Yeah, and that's and Scott, to be honest, not
single.
Yeah,
if a single guy, right, a single solitary player pops off about his own situation and being frustrated with his own situation, I think that's something that other teammates will look at, and they'll all view it in their own lenses, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them will probably think, yes, he's right. Some of them will probably think, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
So in that very respect, what you're saying is potentially true. It could fragment, right? You would have one camp over
here. That's the thing, Scott. When I heard it, like when we were talking about it, and given the fact that he hasn't been here that long, and then given the fact that Cassiano's, whatever that was last week, and to have this from a guy we pointed out, and Joe was like, he played 60 games, to have him come out like that in the moment he did it, it just kind of makes me wonder what's going on in there that's not being talked about.
Yeah. I don't know what question was asked of him. I don't know what exactly. I mean, clearly, he went a long time playing every day, and they didn't see a left-handed pitcher. And they just happened to see three in a row.
Yeah.
Plus an off day. So it probably felt like for him, I haven't been on the field in a while. Right? I get it. But his numbers against left-handed pitching haven't shown any reason to suggest that, we're going to run him out there every day against lefties. He's gotten some opportunities, especially early, and there wasn't a whole lot there. So, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds here over the next few days, and obviously Rob will be asked about it today, and he'll have to address it in some way. We'll see what he says.
We're talking to Scott Fransky, your voice of the Phils. Phillies set for a series starting tonight in Atlanta against the Braves. Scott, let's talk about a tangible thing on the field that I think needs to change, and I'm not sure if that is just getting more production, which would be the ideal, or they have to go get some help here. Scott, they need to hit more home runs, as I see it. It feels like I'm watching a football team that dinks and dunks down the field and no explosive plays. And I just feel like against good pitching, it's just hard, especially these Astros guys, like to string together a walk and three hits and have a crooked number. Scott, I looked this morning, they're 16th in home runs. They're on pace to have one guy, and he already's there, Schwarber, over 20 home runs. It just feels like their power is so zapped. I know part of that's Bryce has been gone, but it feels hard to me to win a lot of games, even with this pitching, without some more home runs.
Yeah, I mean, going into Houston, right, you know that they have good pitching. And when right now the only way the Phillies can score is to string together three or four hits, right, if they're not going to slug. And it's not just homers. I mean, the homers need to, they don't hit many homers. That's no question about it. They haven't hit a ton of doubles either. Just general overall slugging percentage hasn't been great. So, yes, that's part of a larger problem that, that has to change. And, you know, again, they feel like it will. But I think they've – I don't know that they had – did they end up with an extra base hit in that series at all?
I don't think they did. I can't remember one, yeah.
Edmundo, I think the first night.
Oh, yeah, one. Okay, so we forgot the one. Sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But that – I mean, seriously, you go three games and you get one double. That's tough. It's a tough way to try to win. So that definitely has to change. Now, I don't know. I mean, Bryce coming back at some point, you would expect it to, you know, improve the offense. You expect him to hit more homers. But every guy outside of Schwarber is on pace for career lows or, you know, career lows within the last, you know, 5 to 7 years or whatever, you know, even Harper, you know, for a, you know, not a half season kind of thing. So yeah, they need it. They need some power. I just don't know that where's it going to come from? If the guys on the roster don't turn it around, your only other alternative is finding other guys. Mm. And that's difficult. That's difficult the way the landscape is. Everybody's in the race. Everybody thinks they're in the wild card race. There aren't that many clear cut sellers right now. There will be more a month from now, but it'll be kind of a mad dash there at the end to try to find somebody.
Scott, let's end on a fun note. This pitching staff, the starting pitching staff, how great it is. And I know before the season, it kind of came up, you know, could they rival 2011? In your mind, how close are they to 2011? If not right there. I mean, these top four, I know the Lizardo's numbers don't look it because those two bad outings, but I just feel like 90% of their starts, it reminds me of 2011. I mean, they're incredible.
It's 100%. It's 2011 all over again. I mean, and to think they have gotten almost nothing from Aaron to this point, and they've made that work as well. But you're right, those top four, take out two starts from Lizardo and look at the top four. It's unbelievable. They're just amazing. And the other three are all, what, sub 2.9 ERAs, something like that. It definitely allows you to go to the ballpark believing that you have a chance to win every single night. There's no question about it. That you know that, you know, most nights, whichever of those, you know, four guys, and, you know, Abel hasn't been bad. He's obviously got some stuff to work on. But you know you have a chance to win every single night, and that's a comforting feeling. It's a feeling that hitters could probably, you know, I mean, I know it's hard to relax when you're struggling, but maybe just relax and say, hey, look, we got a great pitching staff. We just need to find a way to get a few runs across. We don't have to do everything all at once. Let's, you know, just chill out a minute and try to bang out some hits and see what happens.
Yeah, and most nights that would be good enough. Scott, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the weekend in Atlanta. Hopefully we get some wins down there, and we'll be listening. Thank
you,
Scott.
Have a good one.
All right, see you, fellas.
See you,
have
Scott. There we go. Scott Fransky there with us as he is every Friday. Scott had to be the one to take the tough questions about the...
Yeah, now, man.
I thought it was interesting, his perspective on... You know, Scott has to thread that needle between he's there, he's around the team, mm-hmm. but he's not there behind closed doors, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't know exactly what's going on, although he has a feeling because he's around it more than anybody we talk to. You know, he acknowledged that, like, if there's a problem there, they need to talk it out. And maybe I'm being over the top on this, it's just when it's two players in the span of 2 weeks that are either snapping off at the manager in Castellanos, and Kepler may have been very calm. We just read a quote, right? But like,
but yeah, you but can't
the,
say
it's,
that.
It's the worst.
It's that
he's complaining about his playing time
and the timing.
Yes,
you know, you're coming off offensive. I don't even know what to call it—a bad offensive performance.
Just crap. Just, I mean, yeah.
I didn't want to. You know, I'm trying not to be that.
I mean, they scored one run in three games.
I mean, yeah, that right there. But and you complain about playing time and how you're being used, and coupled with the fact that Castellanos popped off a week ago, so it's like you have to ask that question. I mean, I'd be wrong if I didn't ask it.
So. When I hear a player popping off about playing time, you know what it says to me? And he doesn't have to say it. It says, like he's questioning the manager playing somebody else. And we joke with you about Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of come back to Rojas.
But it's not only that, Joe.
And that's not fair to Rojas. But it's not. But when I hear Kepler saying, why am I not playing every day? He's basically saying, why are you playing those guys over me?
But it's also, Joe, there's a lot of talking. Locker room lawyers in the locker room. Like they're talking about with that. You know, this, it just came to a head this week. Because it's been talked about before that. Castellanos was the catalyst. And now, you know, Kepler saying what he said.
Do you remember the quote that came out before the season? Bryce Harper's quote. Do you remember that one we talked about? Where he talked about the last few postseasons and they said they were outcoached, outplayed.
Oh, yeah.
I just think there's doubt about Topper in that clubhouse now. And it doesn't. I'm not trying to absolve the players from blame. I know you guys are more frustrated the players. Like Max Kepler stinks. I agree with Kyle. Get him off the team. Like I'm not trying to say he's not to blame here for his own performance. They're all to blame. Castellanos swinging a pitch is 5 feet outside. Like that's on them. I just think they're starting to doubt the manager, and that just adds another layer to the issues we have here. It's not good. I mean, I don't even know what Topper's supposed to do.
You know, I'll say this to that. Now, in my career, there were times, and we all know those times, where
you punch T.O. in the face in the locker room.
But
yeah, we don't forget that one.
But there was times where there were certain things that we questioned about Andy. But the one thing that you never did, you never made those questions public.
Right.
You never did that. We all know what it is, the receiver thing. We need to go get some offensive weapons. We need some weaponry.
I think it's natural to question the person in charge at times. But to do it so publicly.
But that was the one thing that we never did. We never voiced it. We never gave it life, I should say. These guys, when you think back on it, Joe, and reflecting on the Bryce Harper stuff and everything that's been said, they don't mind giving these stories life.
Mm-mm.
And they say it so casually that you think back on times that it has been said and you realize, oh, wow, they don't believe any. But I'll say this to that. When you look at the success or the lack of success they had, that Topper kind of put them in this position. Now, you still have to go out there and do your job. And the thing that I remember about all this since I've been here is that when you faced good pitching, you as an individual came up short. Bryce, Schwarble,
Trey,
all those guys that got a whole lot to say when things are going well or not going your way. But when it's a mano-a-mano and you're facing good pitching, you've come up short. And that's a fact. So whose fault is that? Topper put you in the right position, and you can question some of the moves that he's made during the course of the game. But the bottom line is this, from what I've seen in my short view of baseball, anytime you face good pitching, you've come up short.
Yeah, they get shut down. And they are on they could waste one of the great pitching staffs the franchise ever had if they don't start hitting. I mean, that's and whether Dombrowski has to get some reinforcements or these guys got to be better. But it would be a real shame if we waste this thing. I mean, this pitching staff, we just heard Scott say it, it's as good as 2011. I mean, that says a lot. Tom and Abby's up. What's up, Tom?
Yo, fellas, how we doing today?
Tom, what's up, pal?
What it do, Postman Hill?
You know what? I was waiting to see what you were about to come up with. I was just waiting for it.
He was ready. He was ready.
You know what? With all due respect, not a good look, old school.
Hey, listen. I can't get mad because you said with all due respect.
Yep.
I know the rules.
By your rules.
Tom, I hated to see your call on the thing because I knew you were coming with something.
We're all in Hugh's head. Even me responding, oh, no, you lost your keys. He was feeling what
no,
I was going to say
knew,
when you got here.
You were just greasing skids. You and Kyle were in there laughing, and I know what you were doing.
All right, so listen, I actually have a question for you, Hugh, regarding that, because something sounds off with this to me. But to get into the Phils, this doesn't shock me. I mean, I give Bombo credit for Lizardo, but that's it. Other than that, he just replaced just guys with some more just guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did.
Yes.
So other than the pitching, which may be the best I've seen in my life on 51, but people talk about the bullpen and the batting issues, and that's fine. I mean, we obviously have holes there. I'd like to bring up the defense because, as far as I could tell, 2 to 3 of the 5 runs scored in this previous series was bad defense.
Yes, yes. Well, that, you know, it's a bit, Tom, it's a combination where, like, the starting pitching gives you, you watch them, you're like, they can win the World Series with this group. But then you watch the offense, the bullpen, and the defense, and you realize those things are going to undermine the starting pitching. It's crazy because they're so good in one area and so deficient in the others that it makes you crazy.
Right, but when you're a bad defensive team, you cannot fix that in one trade.
No, they can't.
So
they really can't.
That's why I just think ultimately this team disappoints everybody.
Well, they do. And what the unfortunate part is that they're good enough that they're going to be there. So we're going to get excited and hopeful. And then if the flaws are going to crush them. Tom, what would you bring to Broach's party?
You're aware that I got Topper his job, Joe. You might not be aware.
Do you know this, Ewan? The Topper's the manager because of Tom and Addison.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. He talked to Middleton.
I spoke with John, and he told me to call me John, so I'm comfortable doing it, for an hour and a half the night before he fired him. I mean, to be fair, it was me and Seltzer that talked to him.
You get the credit. Seltzer doesn't get credit for this.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll take it.
This is you.
So listen, if you want, I'll call another meeting and I'll get Topper fired or Dombo or K-Long, whoever you guys want.
You know what? Tell him we need changes, Tom, and he could decide what change it is. But I need change. Tom, what are you bringing to Broach's party?
Okay, I am going to bring a big old platter of Chick-fil-A nuggets with all the dippings. And Hugh, I have to know, did you leave the key in the box or hanging out of the box in the keyhole?
I'm assuming... Tom, it probably was hanging out of the box.
Had to be, because if it was in the box, it'd be the mailman who knows who you are and would just give you the key.
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? The key has the name, like not the name, but the address on the mailbox.
So someone could have brought
somebody
it.
Somebody probably couldn't. They probably couldn't read, but you can kind of read it, but they probably weren't thinking like that.
It was faded.
So basically, you don't remember if you left it in there or in the key.
You know, I thought I had. You know what? When somebody asked me this morning,
I'm going to take two extra gummies tonight just for you, Hugh.
Tom is roasting me
now. Yeah, Tom, good phone call.
I deserve it. I mean, I deserve it. I knew it was coming.
What is better for the show, that you left him in the mailbox or if you threw him out by accident?
I think this is better. I wish I'd have threw him out now. I mean, I would probably have more dignity.
Yeah. If you threw your own keys out. I mean, you're not the only one that's done this.
No, I haven't. I know I'm not.
This is just very public. And the whole neighborhood knows now.
That's the bad part about it. And I had to come here and, you know, find my keys on the radio. So that right there.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah thanks.
You should
Kyle.
Thank the entire audience. Everyone of your you owe all your neighbors a gift or something.
Especially Skip.
Yeah. Well,
we
should encourage.
We
this.
Blamed him.
Yeah,
and we shouldn't have.
You're right.
You should apologize to
a
Skip.
A public actually. Apology to Skip.
What do you mean?
You thought maybe he took your keys. You lost them yourself.
Yeah. You threw out some wild accusations.
Come on, old school. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, a lot going on with the Phillies here. Where do you come down after they got swept by the Astros? The offense was just so feeble. Are you starting to lose faith in Rob Thompson? He's starting to lose me as a Phillies manager, and I've supported him for a long time. All right, I got a lot of heat yesterday for it being my fault the Phillies weren't scoring this week. I think someone else at WIP deserves just as much, if not more, blame. We'll get to that next. Your phone calls, midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, because nothing says summer fun like adding excitement to the game while your friends are getting sunburned at the beach. Summer sports are calling your name. Baseball under the stadium lights. Golf on pristine green fairways. Soccer matches with world-class goals and all the action-packed moments in between. Also coming up this weekend, we've got the Jake Paul, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight on Saturday. And FanDuel is offering a 50% prop boost token on the method of victory. The boost is currently live in the app. You were going to spend all day following your favorite sports through your phone anyway. Well, might as well make it more thrilling with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Open the app today and see the daily promotions. New to FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Open the FanDuel app today or visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. We got an update here on the Hugh Keyes situation.
I'm off the hook.
Well, in a sense. So are the keys that we thought were yours that were found, are they yours?
No, they're not.
Oh, no.
They're not mine. But I appreciate the person calling in and, you know.
They tried.
Giving me hope.
So is this better or worse for you? Because you obviously don't have keys, but it also means you didn't just leave them in the mailbox. You lost them a different way. Do you feel better or worse right now?
You know what?
I feel worse if I was you.
That means they're in the house or they were in the house.
Or you threw them away.
Or I threw them away.
Yeah.
I feel kind of better about that.
Okay.
In a weird kind of way. But see, here's the thing. I did a little bit of purging yesterday. So it's a good chance that when I was purging.
You purged your own keys?
I purged my keys. You know, because I was, you know how I sent out a tweet yesterday, and this kind of coincides with what was going on. I asked about the cargo shorts, and you know.
That's why that tweet was sent out?
Yeah, because I wonder,
so hold on. Did you check, like, previous pant pockets?
Like the pants you were wearing yesterday?
I checked the pants.
That's
I had
a classic.
On
I've done that.
Yeah. And I did that. That was one of the first things I did.
I do that with the key card for work.
Like, I checked the bed.
I can't find it. It's in my pants from the day before.
I checked the bed. I checked underneath the bed because I have like the adjustable base. Shout out to the Mattress Warehouse. So I got the adjustable base bed. And so I thought maybe they failed on the floor or somewhere else. So I looked underneath the bed. Not there. And then I went to like the clothes I purged and looked through those just in case I dropped them in there. Not there.
So there was a reason for your tweet yesterday about cargo pants.
Yeah, because like I've been told on more than one occasion that nobody wears cargo shorts anymore.
They're out?
Kind of out. Yeah, but I have so many. Yeah.
That's not good news.
I like cargo shorts.
Yeah. I don't care what anyone thinks about clothes. I'm just going to wear what I think is comfortable.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I'm past the point of trying to impress anybody.
Yeah, it's over.
You know?
I'm still trying to be. Both of you, you're married and you have a girlfriend.
You're swinging from the chandelier still.
I'm still trying to swing from the chandelier.
Guy can't find his keys, but he's swinging from the chandelier.
Can't find my keys. Can't get a date. But I'm giving the whole college try.
He's a catch. His name's Hugh Douglas. All right.
He's very forgetful.
Yeah.
He lost his keys.
So we're back to square one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what this also means is that Skip is no longer off the hook.
Skip,
and we should not apologize.
You know what?
To Skip.
You actually might not be forgetful at all. You just may have a neighbor who broke into your house and stole your keys.
It's one of those things, man, where you get to the point where you're like, did I forget or did I throw them away? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So I'm just, you know.
All right, so that's one update on what's going on here at WIP. Here's one more. So yesterday, I think I was unfairly blamed for the Phillies' offensive woes.
No, you were fairly blamed.
Well, let me bring another point of evidence to this case, okay? So on Tuesday, I did say I think the Phillies could be okay if Bryce misses even more time because they're going to be led by their pitching, and Bryce wasn't having that great of a year anyway. Many, including you guys, have pointed out to me that the Phillies have gone in the tank since I said that, right? As if it was my fault the Phillies stopped scoring this week.
You were like, oh, we don't need Bryce Harper.
Oh, that's not what I said. I said they could get by.
You did sound like that, too.
Yeah, well, now you're projecting. You guys are projecting. All I said is, if he misses more time, I think they'll be in the same spot. Yeah, okay. So
it was like that.
Yeah, okay. So obviously, like you guys are being childish, and you got everyone else to believe this. So I got blamed yesterday. I got blamed for the offensive woes.
Yes.
I think there's someone else to blame.
Who?
Well, I saw this morning. So Jack Fritz's book is out. Ring the Bell, right? And I'm waiting. It's out. I'm still awaiting my copy. He told me he'd be here today. Still haven't been handed my copy. But his book is out. You can get it at ringthebellbook.com. That's awesome. And happy to Jack and proud of Jack.
That was nice of you.
Yes.
The plug.
But now I have to rip Jack. So, Hugh, you want to blame me for the Phillies' offensive woes because of what I said for Bryce Harper. Do you know the Phillies have scored one run since Jack's book has come out? Maybe it's Jack's fault. Maybe Jack jinxed the Phillies.
Wasn't Jack the one tweeting out like giving you stats and stuff about how good they were before we went into this?
It was
Trey Turner propaganda.
Trey Turner propaganda.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then he catches the ball. It's propaganda.
It's called Trey.
It is propaganda. The guy lives off it.
It was Trey propaganda.
I mean, all right. So who's more at fault? I said they'd be okay with Bryce for a little more time, right? Or Jack's book comes out and the team forgets how to hit.
I feel like it's you.
Me?
Yeah. I mean,
because I called you old school twice.
You know what it is?
Laughing.
It was the fake, oh no. It was the, oh no.
Well, I did not know how to respond. What do you want me to say? You can't find your keys.
You probably, when you said, oh no, you and Kyle were laughing. You probably ran over there and said, guess what? He forgot his key, lost his keys. You probably were laughing and giggling.
No, I don't think I laughed.
You probably didn't say who. You probably said pop, pop.
What I said, I think I did. We have Pop-Up Douglas today. He can't find his keys at home. Yeah, I mean, I said that, but I said that to your face. It's not like
I mean,
it's,
yeah, you do. I mean, I respect that.
All right, I blame Jack more for the Phillies than me.
I'm going to still go with you.
Okay, all right, that's fine. All right, Gabe and Jerry Hill is up. By the way, coming up at 1, we're going to puck it up. Rhodes is going to join the show, getting ready for the Flyers draft tonight. What's up, Gabe?
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Gabe, what are you thinking?
happening. So wait, before I don't want to get Kyle mad, but I always have to start the call off asking Hugh what kicks he's wearing today. But I don't want
I got some ones. I got the blue and white ones on today.
Didn't lose
I ain't lose the shoes.
Not yet.
Lost my keys.
Yeah, don't lose the shoes. You can lose your keys, but you're not allowed to lose the shoes.
If this guy loses the shoes that start the day on his feet, we're going to have way bigger problems around here. We got trouble.
Absolutely. It's going to be a much worse day.
Yes.
Speaking of worse days, these last 3 days have been not fun at all to watch this team. Like, this team is streaky, and it's the one thing heading into the season that I was afraid of was that same mentality, because it seems that they kind of echoed it at the beginning of the season where it's like, we just got to get hot at the right time. Like, no, that's not... I mean, I get that's how they think it might work, but that's not really, like, if you're a good baseball team, that's not how it should work. Like, you guys should be solidly consistent throughout the year. And this mentality of just having to get hot at the right time, because if you don't get hot, during the playoffs, then it's going to be the same exact thing all over again. And we're seeing same stretches of just inconsistency on offense. And I think it starts from the top with the false prophet, Dave Dombrowski, because he just, every year, it's more of the same of trying to kind of staple this team together with different, journeyman players, Max Kepler. Don't even get me started on him. Like, how are you hitting 207 and, going ahead and blaming it on consistency and playing time when, like you guys said, he's played 60 games, probably one of the most consistently playing outfielders out there. Like, he's just not good. Like, he's cooked, and it's the same situation over and over again. And, bringing up Justin Crawford may send a message, but it's going to be the same thing again, where it's just going to be minor league type players in this offense when we need more than that, because like you said, we're wasting away a generational pitching staff. Cause I was around for the Four Aces when I was a kid, and that was awesome to see. And it's awesome to see this pitching staff as well, but it feels like we're wasting that talent, wasting that window, because management can't seem to. And the one thing that really caught, kind of reading into the body language of Rob Thompson was that interview when they were asking about Rojas, and he was up on, the 2-0 pitch, and he was like, if it's a strike, might as well, just go for it. It's kind of just him saying, like, dude, like, what more do you want me to do? Like, these are the players that I've been given. I'm doing my best with them. And, we need more. We need more players. So I'm not sure what the internal makeup is going on over there. If there's kind of, tension between Rob and Dave, because maybe Rob wants more and Dave isn't giving him more. But I think something's got to change. Like, I think big moves need to be made in this trade deadline. And if it doesn't, then, there goes our window.
So, Gabe, I agree. I know Dombrowski has been hesitant to do this. I mean, his deadlines since he's come to Philadelphia have been mostly a dud. I mean, the most aggressive he was in 2022 when he traded Ohapi for March. And they tried to upgrade the back end of the rotation. But the last 2 years have been, like, just... I mean, shrugs of the shoulder. I mean, Rodolfo Castro and Lorenzen last year with Hayes and Estevez. Like, if we have another deadline like that, we might as well just pack it in, because they're not going to win.
No,
they need. I think the clubhouse almost needs, like, a jolt. And I don't know what that is. Is that acquiring a huge bat to show them, like, hey, we believe in you? Is it a DFA and a Kepler to get everyone, to wake up? They need a jolt, because they're all walking around like they're zombies. And meanwhile, like you said, this pitching staff is pitching their ass off and losing games.
Absolutely. And it just sucks, because we were promised that Dombrowski was this kind of, generational GM, winning, World Series in both, National League and American League. And he's always been this aggressive kind of trade away all the prospects for the big names and kind of make a big push. And we haven't seen any of that here. And, like, I'm not saying, I'm not vouching for going ahead and, imploding our farm system, but at least make some moves that kind of pushes us, because we don't have that much time left, man. Like, these guys, this isn't the daycare anymore. These guys are all in their 30s. Like, they're pushing 30s. And Realmuto and Schwarber and Bryce are all on the bad side of 30 when it comes to, athletic terms. So it's like, the window is genuinely going to close at the end of this year. And if, they don't make a big push, then it's going to be all for naught. And it's very, very unfortunate.
Yeah, it really, the next month is going to decide a lot of this whole tenure. I mean, we're going to know if they really meant, they really wanted to win a World Series, they just half-assed it. We're going to find out. Gabe, what do you got for us for a snack we should bring to Broads' party tonight?
So I'm just going to keep it really simple and something I like to munch on when I like to indulge in the gummies, and it's a good bag of Frito-Lay's potato chips.
Frito-Lay's.
It's hard to go wrong. I mean, there
it's
you go.
It's not very creative, though.
It's not creative. But
no, but it's a nice little go-to.
It's boring, but it's good.
Very boring.
Nice little go-to.
Yeah. Is that one of your favorites?
I'm not a Frito-Lay guy.
Not a Frito guy?
No.
I am. I like them. It's just I don't have them very often, like how often you have Fritos. Like, once in a while, if they're there, I'll eat them. But how about if you're having gummies? Would you have? Would you more be more likely to have a Frito then?
No, because usually, like, since it's shredding season, if I'm on gummies, I'm drinking vodka.
What about the food?
Stateside. Mm-hmm. Shout out.
No food? Oh, you get hungry?
I like to drink my dinner.
When does shredding season end?
Drink your dinner?
You
are getting old, man.
You used to call it drinking your dinner.
Well, we know you don't mix the food and the drink.
No,
you're famous for
like
that.
Let me see, if I want to eat something, maybe some bacon. I like to eat a little protein, like keto.
I was wondering if that meant you can't eat solid foods anymore.
What you mean?
Well, you're old.
Oh, no, I mean, I ain't that old. I mean, you know, I eat solid food.
Have you heard the first 2.5 hours of the show with the keys?
You talking about the keys? I mean, that's not my fault.
Who else's fault is it?
The key monster that found my keys and took them?
Reached a new low for accountability.
Almost late to work today.
That's crazy.
It wasn't my fault. Somebody took them.
Well,
I don't think it was my roommate.
It was Skip.
It might have been Skip.
I mean, we literally had a neighbor of yours call the show yesterday. They work for the Homeowners Association. They said they had a key to your place. They went in there.
Skip's a little creepy.
Yeah. If Skip took your keys, would you call the authorities?
If Skip took them?
He stole your keys.
Oh, no, it would be, you know, like the kids say, it would be on site. Skip,
but I think
that might
be what Skip wants. You're not getting this.
With the Thundercats.
You're not getting this. All right, Brian, the Northeast. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian, what are you thinking?
Just wanted to touch up on the Phils and talk a little bit about the Sixers.
Let's start with the Sixers. What are you thinking on the Sixers?
With the Sixers, I don't think there's any culture change coming up soon anytime with Joel Embiid still on the team. And even though we got Edgecombe and we got McCain and Maxey, we still got Embiid. And we also have to deal with the fact that we got Paul George as well, too. So, like, I don't see any culture change coming soon unless we move one of the guys off the team.
Well, look, Brian, I would like to do that. Unfortunately, it's going to be hard to trade those guys. I mean, unless we want to attach picks. I don't know who's taking those contracts. We're either going to have to take a bad one back or attach picks to do it. So I feel you, and I wish they weren't here either. They're going to be here. I just think it's a step in the right direction. I understand your point, Hugh's point. I don't think this happens overnight, but I just think we're kind of tipping the scales back to, like, players we want to build around rather than, you know, whatever these guys are at this point.
Yeah, it's unfortunate knowing that we got to deal with Embiid when I feel like that as the years go by, I feel like this man's body's made out of plastic plates, man. Like, this dude's just stay getting hurt. You know, I think he just got to change his diet or something.
Well, and typically, players as they get older don't get less injury prone.
It gets a little worse.
Yeah. So I'm not expecting much there. All right, Brian, what are you feeling on the Phils?
With the Phils, I do feel like it's a management thing. I don't think it's more so like with the players. I just feel like it's definitely something with the leadership, and I think it's something going on in the clubhouse that's you know, being swept under the rug. That don't want to come out to the media. Like, I think there's definitely some leadership thing going on, and I just feel like everybody is jumping the gun about the whole Crawford thing. I don't think we should bring up Crawford. I heard somebody earlier was like, "Oh, bring up Aiden Miller." Like, Aiden Miller's not ready either. So,
yeah,
like,
he's struggled in Double-A. Crawford might be ready or close to it, but Aiden Miller's not ready.
Yeah, Aiden Miller's definitely not ready. Nowhere near close to ready. I just feel like there's. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm gonna just say it. Like, I feel as though, like, if nothing changes after the All-Star break, you know, because, you know, usually, like, after an All-Star break, that's when teams start to pick up the pace and, you know, get things clicking. But if there's no moves made, if there's no lineup changes or somebody's brought up or somebody gets traded, I just feel like it's just going to be one of those seasons where the Phillies start off hot, then they end up falling out, and then, you know, we might be a playoff team, but I just don't see us getting past the wild card.
Not with this offense, they won't. I mean, in the playoffs, you're going to see the best pitching that baseball has to offer. Like, and if they go in with these bats and hitting like this, they're going to get knocked out, and it's going to kill us all. All right, Brian, what are you thinking here for a snack we should bring to Broz's party?
Man, I'm very basic, man. Couturity board, man. You just got to get some grapes, some cheeses, and some, you know, some salami. I'm very basic with that.
He said he's charcuterie.
Charcuterie. I always say the word wrong, man.
Oh no, listen, dude, I wasn't gonna penalize you for mispronouncing the word.
You can remember that, but you can't remember where your keys are. It's crazy.
Wow. Caught a stray.
That's a parting shot.
You got caught.
That wasn't even a stray. I mean, that was
Ryan, that's a good one.
I was trying to help him out, and he just cooked me. That's fine. I mean, be your own people.
I mean, you didn't let his thing slip. No, you let your keys slip out of your pocket.
Because when he said it, I was trying to think about what he said. But before I could even get it out of my mouth, he went in for the kill. Okay. I mean, it's one of those days. It's cool.
Yeah, I think you might have.
I deserve it.
I think Kyle may have an inadvertent drop after the end, the way you ended that sentence. Mark is in Woodbury Heights. What's up, Mark?
Here we go again, guys.
Yeah, we're back.
Clayton Phils. I told you Monday could be a tough road trip, right? Remember the all-in conversation?
Yes.
And then, you know, a couple weeks back, you know, you guys wanted to apologize to Dombrowski, take him out to dinner and this and that.
Well, not so much dinner, just an apology.
Opening day, I called you guys after they struck out 14.
And you said, enough is enough.
That is correct. And here we are 3 months later, and nothing really has changed. The team can't hit. They just can't. They cannot hit the ball. You have too many guys on this roster that swing through too many pitches, have terrible approaches to the plate, and they're undisciplined. That's it. Now, the question is, why don't we ask those questions in the media to Thompson, to Dombrowski? Like, why does this team continue to falter this way offensively? No one asks those questions. Like, why do they swing at first pitches consistently in a negative fashion? You know, there's a time and a place to swing at a first pitch, but they do it just to do it. Is it the batting coach? Is it Thompson? Is it Dombrowski? Is it an organizational philosophy? What is it? It happens over and over. You're bringing Kepler. Are you serious with Max Kepler? Are you serious with him? Rojas, Marsh. Are you going to win with these guys? You're going to win a World Series, Castellanos. Are you going to win a World Series with these guys? The answer is no. Bone. Any one of them is tradable. You have one of the best pitching staffs you've had in the history of the franchise. So, where does Zach Wheeler stack up with the pitchers of this team over the last 50 years?
He's right up there with any of them. I mean, he's up there. Yeah, I mean, you can make a case. Now, he's based on his time here, he's past Halliday. I mean, he's done more here than Halliday did. And I mean, I don't know if other than Carlton, I don't know if anyone's been better here for a 6-year span than him. I mean, maybe Schilling, but that's
so.
It. Yeah.
I don't think so. I've been watching this team since the mid-70s. Carlton, Wheeler, maybe Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, Halliday, Cliff Lee for a few years, Hamels for a few years. That's it. I mean, Wheeler is that good. You're throwing that away. You're throwing this pitching staff away, and it all comes down to one guy, Dombrowski. He is at fault with this. What is he going to do to fix it? This team is – I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I've said that since before the season started.
Oh, stop it.
No, I don't think – but Mark, they're not a lock. They're not a lock.
They're
not a lock.
Yes, they are.
Kyle,
no, they're not.
Kyle, the offense isn't
no,
good
Mark,
enough.
Mark, they're going to make the playoffs.
I don't know.
I mean,
the pitching stat, the starting pitching is strong. I give you that.
It's the best starting rotation in the league. They're going to make the playoffs. They get swept in Houston, and all of a sudden they're not a playoff team. Can we relax?
Hold on. With that, we all agree it's the best pitching staff. They're only 3 games up on a playoff spot. Like their hold on a spot is not 12 games.
Right, and they're playing badly right now. They're gonna play better. They're going to improve the team. They're gonna make the playoffs. Can we relax, please?
I can't relax. Have you known me for long enough? I don't relax.
Kyle, Mark. The offense stinks. The defense.
It stinks right now. But like a week or two ago, they were putting up 10 runs a clip, dude.
But the offense has never been consistent.
No, Mark. Okay, Mark. If the Phillies are inconsistent, then what is everybody else? Because we're 4 games off the best record in the majors.
Well, the pitching.
Right.
The pitching.
Okay. But like this is what baseball is. If we're inconsistent, then you have to say every other team in baseball is inconsistent because they are. Like, the Mets just lost, what, like 9 out of 10 games? Now all of a sudden they want a few. And I'm sure people are back on board with the Mets. Like, can we just relax?
Let me say it this way. I think Kyle's probably right, Mark. I don't think you're crazy to feel that, because I feel a little bit of that, too. Like, it's not a lock. But Dombrowski better get some help in here, because if they think they could just screw around until October, they could. Mark, I think there's going to be a team in the National League that wins 90 games and is on the outside looking in. And it could be the Giants. It could be the.
I agree.
So I don't want to be that team. So we better get a bat in here to get over the hump. Otherwise, we're going to be like, well, in October, and then we don't make it.
But listen, you got to bring up Crawford now. Why not? The offense can't get any worse. Bring up Crawford now. Give him an opportunity in center field. Those other two guys, forget it. I don't want to hear what Marsh is playing better. Forget it. They are what they are. Bring up Crawford now. Get another bat in here. Left field, first base, whatever. And let's go.
Let's go. Mark, we appreciate it. I mean, DFA Kepler tonight and bring Crawford up. Would anyone disagree with that? Like, would anyone be upset if they did
that?
No,
we need to tip the weenie scale.
You need to make a statement. You need to get the, if he feels that way, you need to get the locker room
back. It would be a sign to me that they have the managers back. The front office. You know, this guy called him out. Get him out of here. All right,
I don't want the weenie. Yeah, I should have known that was... Gonna make it come up.
215-592.
At least I didn't lose my car keys. And at least I
You did.
You absolutely did.
But I didn't leave him. I didn't leave him in the thingy.
No, you just threw him in the trash. 215-592-9499. All right, coming up, your phone calls, and we got to puck it up. You ready to puck the show up?
I thought we've been pucking it up all day.
And we've been pucking it up for a few years now. All right, no, we're going to puck it up next. Broads, Hunter Brody joins us to get set for the NHL draft. We'll have details about his party. Who should the Flyers take tonight? All coming up on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.